This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Heading into Thanksgiving already. Amazing that we're here already during this NFL season. Frank Schwab has been on with us before. We love having him on. He covers the NFL and sports betting for Yahoo Sports at Yahoo Schwab on X on Twitter. He joins us now courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. And I'm going to just start with this because Saquon Barkley's having an impact on a team that, you know, I think some people guessed it, but nobody could have guessed it this much. And I'm just wondering what you think his legitimate chances are. Are they legitimate to win the MVP? How would it happen?
Well, I think his easiest path is rushing for 2,000 yards, or better yet, breaking Eric Dickerson's record. He's on pace for both, so it's not outrageous to say that. I always use this stat that the last time a running back won MVP without either rushing for 2,000 yards or setting a single-season NFL touchdown record was 1993. It was Emmitt Smith. And so you have to hit some milestone that's going to catch a voter's eye. And so I think he's got to get to 2,000. I think it would help him if the Eagles got the number one seed, because voters have basically defaulted to a quarterback on a number one seed. It's 12 of the last 15 MVPs have been a quarterback off a number one seed. So I guess there's some transitive property of, well, if there's not a quarterback from a number one seed worth it, maybe the running back off the number one seed is the most valuable. That obviously impresses them. So I think it'd help if the Eagles get the number one seed. And also, I just think he needs someone to struggle at quarterback. I mean, we all are talking about, oh, Barkley for MVP. Well, the guys whose opinions, actually matter in terms of money for their bosses, odds makers in Vegas, they still had Josh Allen as a favorite and Lamar Jackson number two, and Saquon Barkley pretty far behind at number three in the MVP odds on Monday morning. So, and then Lamar goes out and plays great on Monday night. So I think he needs a quarterback to slip up. I think he needs nobody to kind of have this great finish, even a Jared Goff. Like, if the Lions go 15-2, and why couldn't they at this point, or 10-1, if the Lions go 15-2 and Goff puts up some kind of 115 rating over the season, I think voters would just be attracted to that. He's a number one seed. He's a quarterback. Hey, let's give him the award. So I think Barkley has is still an uphill climb. I'd vote for him. I think he's been the story of the NFL season, the best as far as like the one player who has kind of dominated the season, the talk of the season, the headlines, all that kind of stuff. But look, voters, the formula's there, the history's there. We can look at it and say Barkley still has a long way to go to win MVP, and he probably also needs some help from Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff. Those guys kind of stumbling down the stretch too.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I was thinking about as it relates to Barkley, in watching the Eagles, Frank, here recently, I mean, he's great, clearly. A lot of the yards have come when the other team's back was essentially broken late in the game. Not all of them, okay, but because he had the big run, you know, early in the game against the Rams, but that last one was late. A couple of the big runs against Washington were late in the game. Is that Philadelphia's defense now may be one of the top two or three in the NFL, and you could make the case that their defense is carrying them right now as much as Saquon Barkley and the offense are.
Yeah, and it's tough to disagree with that. Their defense has been just spectacular for, I mean, we're talking about a team that they've been 7-0 since their bye week. And, you know, it just, Vic Fangio came in, new defensive coordinator, and it just took a little bit of time, not much, but a little bit of time to get his schemes down. And you could kind of see the progress that's being made. And I agree with you. Their defense has been excellent. Now, I don't know if voters are getting granular enough to figure out, oh, is their defense is more valuable than Barkley? They just look at kind of where guys finish and stats and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know that would hurt it. But I think in the bigger picture, in, you know, who might win a Super Bowl this year, I think when we've all been talking about the Lions, and rightfully so, they're an unbelievable story after never winning a championship since 1957, not ever being to a Super Bowl. They're taking up all the oxygen in the room, and somehow the Philadelphia Eagles, who never fly under the radar, no pun intended, nobody's really talking about them as a possible Super Bowl winner when they're playing as well as anybody in the NFL. They have been for 7 weeks. So I think that, you know, I mean, when we talk about, you know, who's the contenders this year, I mean, the Eagles' defense plays a big role in that because we know the offense is good, right? The offensive line's great, and the receivers, and Hurts, and Barkley, and all that. But it's their defense that's really come along and played it. Like you said, a top-three level. They're excellent, and I don't think that's going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, and look, like you've kind of intimated, they still have a chance to end up being the one seed in the NFC, and the Super Bowl could go through the link. I mean, Detroit still has Buffalo. They have, you know, they've got a much improved Bears team twice. They still play the Packers, right?
Vikings, I believe. They play the 49ers. I'm not saying the 49ers are any great shakes right now, but you're still playing at San Francisco. So there are a lot of the Lions might have to go 15-2, 16-1 to get the number one seed. As crazy as that sounds, they have a lot of tough games coming up against them, and the Eagles aren't going anywhere. And neither are the Vikings and the Packers. You would think that the Lions would be feeling pretty good at 10-1, right? Like you're 10-1, you're doing pretty well. No, you're one game ahead in the division. You're one game ahead for the number one seed from the Eagles. Like, this is a team that still has a lot of pressure on them to keep winning games.
Yeah, even though in watching them, you're like, this is one of those special dream juggernaut kind of seasons that we get every once in a while in the NFL, like almost preordained to make it to the Super Bowl, which would be their first. But yeah, Minnesota's a game back, Green Bay's two back, and they still have games against them, along with, you know, Buffalo and San Francisco, etc. So what about Offensive Rookie of the Year? Obviously of interest here, Jaden was a massive favorite, you know, after third week of the season until maybe a week or so ago, and now here comes Bo Nix. How do you size up that race?
Yeah, I'd been saying all last week that, you know, look, Bo Nix is playing well, but Jaden lapped the field before. He's got a long way to go, but then last week was it kind of flipped. Like, I did not expect the Commanders to drop a game to the horrible, horrible Dallas Cowboys team, right? Like, they lose that game, and it kind of changes everything in the race because Nix plays well again, and all of a sudden, that might be a game that keeps the Commanders out of the playoffs, where I think the Broncos are going to make the playoffs. I think that would be a big deal to voters. If one guy makes the playoffs, the other guy doesn't. I mean, I do think this, and I had a buddy text me this, he's actually from Chicago, so he comes at it from that perspective. He texted me, he's like, isn't it going to look weird when in 5-10 years we look back and Bo Nix won the Rookie of the Year over Caleb and Jaden and Drake May? And I said, yeah, it will. Like, I really don't think that Bo Nix is the best quarterback out of these group, but he's maybe playing the best this year. But I would still take Jaden. He was so unbelievable early in the year that I'm not holding recency bias against him, but they got to start winning games. Like, you can't go on a, you know, you lose 7-8 to end the season and don't make the playoffs, and Jaden Daniels still wins Rookie of the Year. I think at that point, Bo Nix is playing well enough that he'd win it. So I think Jaden still leads, but the gap was cut tremendously last week because the Commanders lost a game that honestly is just kind of inexcusable.
Yeah, no, we've been living it for the last 48 hours.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
I believe
it was
that,
hideous. Hideous loss, no doubt. We were talking to Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. Frank does his power rankings every week. He's got them up right now. You still have Washington at 10, but you had to probably feel a little bit squeamish about that because they just lost to, you know, going into the weekend, arguably the worst team in the league.
Yep, and you get to that if you look at my power rankings and kind of go through my thought process of, well, who do I put ahead of the Commanders? Who really down here deserves it? The Texans, who just lost at home to the Titans? Like, you're looking at teams like, once I got to like 9, I was like, I think I had the Chargers at 9 after they lost by 2 touchdowns yesterday. Well, I guess 1 touchdown technically.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, do I feel comfortable with that? Like, no, not really. But the Commanders don't deserve to be higher than them. And the Texans and all these Cardinals losing a pretty bad game to the Seahawks and not scoring a touchdown. Like, we're really seeing separation now. We are seeing like, okay, here are the probably 4 to 5 elite teams. There's probably 3 or 4 teams behind them. And then there's just kind of a glob of just check in every week to see if they're good. The Washington Commanders, like, they might be bad enough to lose to the Cowboys this week. They might be good enough to, you know, put up 40 against whoever. I know they're playing like 3 tomato cans in a row. So they need to bounce back badly. So, yes, the Commanders at 10. It's kind of just, you know, nobody else was better than them, and it's tough to look. Losing to the Steelers at home was not bad. Like, whatever. Like, it's not ideal, but the Steelers are a good football team. Losing at Philadelphia was expected. Like, that's a really, really good football team, and you're on the road, and you were still in that game in the fourth quarter. It's just the loss of the Cowboys where you look and you say,
no doubt.
That's kind of the sign of a young team that just didn't really take that game seriously. And that's kind of, Dan Quinn's a great coach. He's done a great job, but that's on the coaching staff not having that team ready to play because, you know, it was the kind of game that you're going to look back. I mean, you really might look back first week of January, you know, when the playoff berths are being handed out and say, it was that one game. It was that one game in Dallas against Dallas at home that might have kept us out of the playoffs.
It was hurtful, no doubt. So, who's going to win the NFC West, Frank?
I think it's Seattle. I don't know. I don't know why I have a soft spot for Seattle. I just have so much respect for Mike McDonald and his defensive mind. And that offense has, yes, they're inconsistent for sure. And Geno certainly is inconsistent. But I just look at the talent on that team, and I say that this team is going to get better. They're the type of team that's going to peak in December. I think the Rams are kind of fading away. The 49ers, goodness, I don't even know what to make of them right now. But it's down between Arizona and Seattle. We saw the head-to-head win on Sunday. They play next week. They kind of have this weird 2 games in 3 weeks type deal going on. So that's really interesting. Arizona could, you know, Arizona was playing the best out of all those teams up until last week, but I wonder if Seattle overtakes them. I'll take Seattle. I think they're a little bit of an underdog right now if we're talking about, like, you know, who the odds favor and, you know, all the analytics and stuff favor Arizona. But I see Seattle as a team that's going to kind of peak late in the season. And a lot of that is, like I talked about earlier with Vic Fangio, that it just seems they're getting Mike McDonald's schemes now. To hold that Arizona team out of the end zone for a full game is pretty impressive. So I like what I'm seeing out of Seattle lately.
Yeah, that was really an impressive defensive performance because Arizona had been rolling. You know, I noticed in your power rankings, and I can appreciate this, you've got Tampa as the 14th best team in the league. And Denton and I have been talking just about the job that Bowles has done with all the injuries that they've had.
Yeah.
And that right now, even though they got swept by Atlanta, they're coming. And of those two teams that would potentially win the NFC South, I think they're the ones that other teams wouldn't want to play. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think we've shown by now at the end of November here that the Buccaneers are the best team in that division. Now, they might not win it because the Falcons swept them, and it's tough to overcome that. But you look, the Falcons have two really, really tough games coming up. I think the Chargers are one of them, and they play somebody else. So
they might play Minnesota. Kirk goes back to Minnesota.
Right, and so we might look back at 2 weeks and say, wow, the Buccaneers are in first place, and they're not giving that up. So I think the Buccaneers, look, they should have gone for 2 against Kansas City. If they win that game, they just go for 2 and get it, and they win that game, which, I mean, there's a long way, whatever. They would have been the only team in the NFL to beat the 10-1 Detroit Lions on the road and the currently 10-1 Kansas City Chiefs on the road. Like, that's how good they are. That's their upside. They would have had a road win. They did get a road win against the Lions. They should have got a road win against the Chiefs. Like, that's saying something. So they've just lost a lot of weird close games, the 49ers game, the Falcons game in overtime, and all this kind of stuff. But I think when you look at that team, they're far better than Atlanta. Atlanta and Houston are the two teams to me that are just good enough to win a bad division. That's all they are. They're going to get into the playoffs. We're going to be watching them, one of those two teams, on that first Saturday afternoon game, wild card weekend, and they're going to get blown out by the Packers or the Chargers or whoever they get in the first round, because both of those teams are pretty bad. They just happen to be in worse divisions. So, yes, I think the Buccaneers, they could overcome the Falcons. I don't know, but I think that they're going to be the one team we look and say, yeah, the rest of the NFC is probably happy not to see them in, because that's a pretty good team. They have the capability of beating really, really elite teams. So, yeah, the Buccaneers are the best team in that division, but might not win the division.
Talking to Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports, let's flip it to the AFC. Are you a believer after 11 games and them, you know, barely getting by Carolina, who's played better, and Bryce Young's played well recently, by the way, for those not paying attention to the Panthers. But are you a believer that the Chiefs will just, you know, play with their food until the playoffs and then they'll be ready to roll?
Yeah, how can you not, right? Like, how can you go into this saying, well, the Chiefs are going to lose in the playoffs? Like, we saw this whole thing play out last year, and then they get to the playoffs and it just doesn't matter anymore. They know how. The one thing they do, and I know this is such a cliche or whatever, but they know how to win games. Like, they know exactly, like, even on Sunday, Carolina ties it, and it's a very exciting moment, and it's like, wow, the Chiefs are on the ropes. And trust me, I'm based in Colorado, so everybody is rooting against the Chiefs. Everybody. Whoever the Chiefs play that week, that's the second-favorite team in Colorado. And I think that's kind of the deal a lot of places. Like, people kind of want to see the Chiefs lose, but once the Panthers score, you're like, oh, there's like a minute and a half left. This game's over. Mahomes is just going to win it.
I know.
Like,
there's
no doubt. No doubt in the world. And he does it. And, you know, like always. And you're just like, they go against my conventional wisdom anyway, that I don't like teams that just barely win every single week. I don't like teams that are living off of this, like, 8-1 record in close games or whatever they are right now. I hate that. I think that a sign of a great team is you blow out bad teams. And they don't do that. They haven't done it all season. But normal rules don't apply to the Kansas City Chiefs. I just think that, I don't know what it is. You're right. Play with your food a little bit, or just kind of, we know exactly what we need to do to win this week. They're almost bored. You know, I mean, if you're 10-1 back-to-back Super Bowl champs, it's hard to get up for the Carolina Panthers. It just is. And so, you know, you're winning the AFC West and all that kind of stuff. So I just kind of do assume that once we get into the playoffs, the Chiefs are just going to play better than everybody, because when we get to the playoffs, they're going to have the best quarterback and the best coach. I know the quarterback hasn't played the best this year, but would you pick anybody over him when it comes to the playoffs? Would you pick Josh Allen over him?
They might be playing at Arrowhead. Last year they played on the road. This year they might be playing at Arrowhead. I got a minute, and I wanted to ask you, because I saw that you wrote about this. And I've been talking about this a little bit the last few weeks. Anybody that doubted that Tua Tagovailoa was like a legitimate upper tier, I'm not saying elite, but upper tier starting quarterback, basically has to take it back after what the Dolphins looked like without him and what they look like with him. Speak to Tua and what he's done for his reputation here over the last month and a half and the Dolphins' playoff possibilities.
Yeah, the Dolphins need some help, but they're playing like a playoff team, and it's like every time Tua Tagovailoa plays, he plays at a really, really high level, and he's kind of become the most underrated player in the NFL. Nobody wants to give him credit. Nobody wants to say, this guy's just good. Like, he just puts up, you know, 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns every year, and everybody just shrugs and says, whatever. He's got Tyreek Hill to throw to, I guess. There's a lot of good quarterbacks that can throw to good receivers. Tua's a good player. He's a good quarterback, very good quarterback, top 10 quarterback. I don't think that should be in doubt anymore. I'm happy for him. You know, all the concussion stuff from a couple months ago, I hope he stays healthy. But yes, I think Tua, because of what people thought about him early in his career or coming out of draft or whatever it was, I just don't think people want to admit that he's a top 10, maybe top 5 quarterback. Who knows? So, yeah, I think Tua is a fantastic football player, and for whatever reason, people just don't want to give him credit for that. But, yeah, the Dolphins dug themselves a big hole. It's going to be hard for them to make the playoffs.
Yeah, although that last spot in the AFC is going to come down. I mean, Denver's playing well right now. I mean,
yeah,
the Dolphins,
and they got some winnable games. Trust me, I'm here. People, all my Broncos fans friends are like, yeah, we're going to win that game and that game and that game. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably going to the playoffs.
Incredible. Frank, thanks as always.
Actually, I appreciate it.
Yep. Frank Schwab, everybody, from Yahoo Sports. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.